2 Timothy chapter 1, please. The power of a mother. Yes, thank you. That's wonderful. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Next week, we'll get, Lord willing, back into our what we're calling our purpose statement and walking through our purpose statements here on the wall. But today, taking a brief pause to acknowledge our mothers today, 2 Timothy and chapter number 1. Now, this is a, I'm sure, familiar portion of Scripture for many of you. But Paul writes here to a younger man in the faith. He's a younger pastor. And Paul sent Timothy over to Ephesus, which is a very wicked city, to pastor a church that Paul had actually helped in a great way to start and plant that church. And Timothy was one of his young proteges, along with Titus and others, these younger men that followed Paul often. And so one of these men was Timothy, but I want you to notice how he brings to light some of these things. Might as well start in verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Notice Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, Paul considered Timothy a son in the faith. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice what he says in verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. He says, I pray for you constantly, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. We know, according to church history, Timothy had a tremendously difficult ministry there in Ephesus. And he says, Timothy, I'm mindful of what you're going through. You've had some burdensome times. But notice that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, though, I want to focus on. When I call to remembrance, notice this, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, notice then, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Isn't that wonderful? Now, as we think about this morning, our faithfulness of our mothers and going along that line, you think about, Paul says to this young man, I want you to remember something, Timothy, in your great burden that you're going through, great difficulty in life, which all of us go through daily, difficulties and challenges. He says, remember this, that you look back at the heritage that you came from. Now, for some of you in here today, you didn't come from a godly heritage, but you're here today, and I'm so proud of you. You're here today. You grew up maybe in a home without maybe a father or without a mother, or if they were, they may have been absent emotionally or whatever the case, right? But some of you did grow up in a home with godly Christian parents, and we ought to thank God for that. I being one. Praise the Lord for that. But some didn't. Now think about it. He says, whatever you're going through, I want you to acknowledge this, Timothy, that you have a mother and grandmother that have what's called, and he clarifies, an unfeigned faith. That means real. Feigned means to put on a mask. If you were to feign, you were to disguise yourself. He says you have an unfeigned faith. It's real. It's authentic. It's out in the open. I like that. Now think about this today. We read, according to this in 1 Timothy, that Paul states that Timothy was actually, his father was a Greek, was a Gentile man, and his mother was a Jewish lady. And in those days, you didn't mix like that. They didn't like each other. And then we read, according to reading into it a little bit, not very clear on it, but we're apparently clear, it shows that his father was absent. Somehow, some happened, I don't know what, but he left the family. So Timothy grew up without really a father in his life. And he says, Timothy, remember the unfeigned faith of your mothers. I'm reminded of the story of the three boys. They decided to get a gift for their mom for Mother's Day. And they got together and they said, hey, what are you getting mom for Mother's Day? So, I don't know. So the oldest son was a doctor and he's got some money. And he sent his mom a brand new Mercedes. And she received it, called him and said, hey, son, thank you so much. I didn't need that Mercedes. You know that, but thank you. Oh, no problem, Mom. It's the least I can do. The second son is a dentist. He's got money. He called and sent his mom a $10,000 check. She called and said, son, you didn't have to do that. Come on now. Now I couldn't do that, by the way. Okay, come on now. You didn't have to do that, but I appreciate it. That's so sweet. Well, the third son, he was a car salesman, didn't have much money. And he found this thing online. It was a parrot that could quote the Bible. It was a live parrot, quote, over half the New Testament. And he thought, that is really cool. He said, my mom, number one, likes birds, and secondly, loves to read her Bible. This is going to be great. So he mails this bird to the mother. And she calls him about a week later, says, "Son, that was wonderful. You didn't have to do that." He said, "I sure hope you enjoyed it, Mom." She said, "It was wonderful. The chicken was delicious." Thank you. You get to that age sometimes, I guess. Not sure what that is. Let's just cook that thing. Amen. That's not very good, is it? Now back to the message here. Mothers have power. We know that. A man by the name of Herbert Locke Lear, he writes this. He said, "Nations never rise above the quality of their women." We know that. You've heard the old adage, "The hand that rocks the cradle, what? Rules the world," right? And we see it. We see it today. Mothers, can I encourage you today to continue keeping on, being faithful, stay the course. I know it's got to be very hard in this world of such lust and such a sensuality and such a degrading of women today. They try to promote women's rights. In fact, they don't promote women's rights. They make it harder on women sometimes. And you think about that. Women today, I want to encourage you, mothers and grandmothers, stay the course, stay in your Bible. Don't listen to the worldly influences and things around you. Stay here. Ladies today have tremendous power. Oh, generation today is so far from that. I have many quotes here, just a few. George Washington, he wrote this. He said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother." Andrew Jackson wrote, he said, "The memory of my mother and her teachings were the only capital I had to start life with. And on that capital, I have made my way." So many here. John Adams wrote this. He said, "My mother was a minister of blessing to all human beings within her sphere of action." We know that. Winston Churchill, he wrote of a man interviewing him, and he said, "You've omitted mention of the greatest of my teachers." He said, "Who's that?" He said, "My mother. She taught me the most." My friends, today we know that. Now, the Bible gives high priority to mothers. Proverbs talks about this repeatedly. Proverbs chapter 1, he says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." He says, "Keep thy father's commandments, forsake not the law of thy mother. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee. Despise not thy mother when she is old." Isn't that tragic today? Many people just let them go. They despise the mother. They neglect the mother, whatever the case would be. Today we find very true throughout the Bible that God deals very severely, in fact, with those that do not honor their parents. They don't honor their mother and father. Well, you don't know what they did. You don't, and I understand that. I know where you're coming from with that, understanding that there's some very difficult situations in life. But we ought to give high priority as best we can to honoring them. A second grade teacher gave an assignment, and she gave out and gave an example of, and for the 3 days prior to the test day, she explained to them what a magnet was. Here's a magnet and how it works and how strong it is and how it attracts and what it'll do. And she explained the whole process of what a magnet does. And at the end of the week, she came and she told the students on the test, Now, I want you to write down something. Explain to me the thing we talked about. It's a 6-letter word. She tried to make it very simple. 6-letter word that holds things together and doesn't let it go. They all thought. Over 50% of them didn't write magnet. They wrote mother. Isn't that good? 6-letter word. Not a magnet, it's a mother. They thought, I know what holds things together, amen? I know what keeps everything. And when mama ain't happy, nobody's happy, right? When mama's happy, it's a good day. And we want to be that way. He says, listen, you ought to honor your mother. Think about this. He that wasteth his father, Proverbs 19:26, and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame. Whoso curseth father and mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. That's dying alone, if you want to clarify it. Very sad. We think about many other things. Proverbs 30, verse 17, "The eye that mocketh his father despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it." Meaning, possibility of early death. Just thinking about how the severe consequences that we can see throughout Scripture. Now, today, the generation we have is that very generation. We know that. The Bible says clearly in Proverbs 22, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it." I heard this recently, but every child is 100% on board with having a good relationship with you as a parent. You have a child, they don't go, "Well, we'll see. I don't know if I want to have a good relationship." No, every child that's born is 100% on board with you having a good relationship with them. You don't have to entice them. They'll come up and just put their arm around you, unless you've done something to them and they cower and hide from you. But if you're a good parent, they come up and they just naturally want to have a relationship with you. And we think about that, that's exactly what the Bible's talking about. The Bible says that there are children, the children that want this relationship. Us as parents, we know our responsibilities. It's placed squarely on the shoulder of the father especially, but also the mother. Today we see that there's many that are absent and missing, and we go through and think about this. Now let me hasten here because I got to jump into this. I want you to notice a few examples today that we find in Scripture of women or mothers that have used their influence or their power, we're calling it, for both good and for evil. As we go back throughout the Bible, we won't turn to all these references, but we go back to the very first woman, Eve, young boy, they asked, who's the most important woman in the Bible? Little Johnny in the back said, it's got to be Eve. Why is that? There's two holidays named after her, right? Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, got to be. But Eve used that, you know that. She had an opportunity and she was deceived. We know that. She was deceived by the serpent. But we think about this. Now, an emphasis there is that Eve was separated from her husband at the time. Now, where Adam was during that deception, we don't know. He was over off doing something, tending to the garden. I don't know. But I want to encourage you with this. Limit the separation between you and hubby, between you and husband. See, the adversary wants to get us isolated, and then he begins to work his magic on us, doesn't he? If you can get alone, that's when he starts to work. Stay together as much as you can. I know that's easier said than done, but he shows this. Now, separation. Eve used her influence. Eve used her, if we want to say, power in not a very good way. We think of Sarah in Genesis 16. She gets a little antsy. Now, we studied this on Wednesday night with the Abrahamic covenant. But God says to Abraham, he's already an elderly man, by the way, has no children. He says, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. Abraham thought for a minute, okay, yeah, sure, probably, you know, maybe one of my nephews or something, sure. They didn't really believe God, did they, to a T? At least Sarah didn't. And he says, no, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. Sarah said, well, I'm past that time. I mean, what? And we know she laughed. And she got a little antsy and impatient, didn't she? She said, Abraham, go on into Hagar. And Abraham didn't hesitate very long, did he? He said, okay. She used her power, influence, in a way that we see is impatience, waiting on God. Your husband doesn't know everything. I know it's a shock, okay? He's not the smartest fella, I know. But you think about, if he has told you clearly that he's waiting on God's plan and God's will for your life, for the family, be patient in that. Listen, God will hold him responsible. God holds the man responsible for the home. He holds the pastor responsible for the church. He holds us responsible. Wait on God and in patience show that. We think of the women in 1 Kings 11 that swayed Solomon's heart away. It says that he began with just a sexual, sensual thing. But eventually, what did it lead to? Those women began to use that sensuality to turn Solomon's heart. And it wasn't towards what? Buy me a house, buy me a car, buy me... What was it? Build me a temple to my God. See, that's where it leads to. We may not say that today. We may not bow down to a golden idol in our home, but we sure stare at it. We sure look at it. I get the update on my phone. Do you get that? You spent this much hours and percentage on your phone this week. I say, turn that thing off. You know, I spent that many hours on it? I think about that. Oh, they sway. These women use their influence for an evil way to turn Solomon, who was the wisest man to ever live, who was a man that the Bible says God himself loved as a son. The Bible says he loved him. And he was a precious son to the Lord. Swayed his heart. And how can we forget old Jezebel? 1 Kings 21:25. Notice this verse. 1 Kings 21:25. There was none like unto Ahab. Notice what it says. Which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord. Here it is. Whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. It says Ahab sold himself to work wickedness. That phrase there, sold himself, literally means to prostitute himself. He sold himself. Now, whatever that means, I don't know. And what details he sold himself. But we know there was rampant immorality during the time. We know there was rampant deviant behavior, homosexual behavior, all kinds of stuff. He sold himself to work wickedness. And it says Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. And mamas, grandmamas, wives, you know you can stir us up. You can stir us up to do certain things. And she stirred him up, boy, to do wickedness. Do this, do this, do that. You remember the story of that fellow that had the garden there next to the building? And he said, well, I went there and I wanted that property and I asked if I could buy it from him. And the guy said, no. Some of us just got through that in our Bible reading. And he went back to his wife. He said, no, I couldn't have it. He starts whining and crying like a little, you know what. And she goes over there, so I'll take care of it. Goes over there, has the guy killed, you know. That's old Jezebel, man. She took care of business, right? Got food the other day at a restaurant. To me, I don't really care. It was the wrong order, but I didn't care. I thought, that's good enough for me. I'll try it, you know. My wife, no, you need to send it back. I'll tell the waiter. I said, no, it's fine with me. You think about it, she said, man, she took, and she said, now, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. I'm just saying today, now let's get past that part. Let's get to the good part. And women that use their influence for good. For good now. Now, we see several characters throughout the Bible. Very interesting. Abigail, Esther. We see these two women, Lois and Eunice. We think of Jochebed in Exodus chapter number 2, who took her little boy and said, I'm refusing to sell him off. I'm refusing to throw him into the river for the alligators to consume. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that choice she had to make today? Could you imagine taking your son and after taking care of him for a while, hiding him to the point where you can't hide him anymore, to the point where he's now saying, Mama, where he's now holding your little hand, where now really getting used to you. Now you got to go put him in the basket. Can you imagine that? I couldn't imagine that. She had to make a choice, but a choice of faith and said, I'm not going to just throw him out there and, well, Lord, just let it be. No, she said, I'm going to try and do my best. And again, I said this before, but we all have to give our kids over to Egypt at some point. Egypt is a type of the world, and it's how we prepare them for that time, isn't it? Do we take a basket? Do we daub it or cover it with pitch so it's waterproof, right? They have to be in the water, but when the water gets inside the basket and sinks, that's when it gets bad. They have to be in the world, but when the world gets inside of the kids, that's bad. She did all that she could to protect the child and do what she could to help the child and laid him in there, wrapped him up, make sure it was floating and didn't just tip over. She did everything she could to get that thing. And she kind of drifted it down into the weeds there. She drifted it down, make sure that it kind of got stuck over there for a little bit. And sure enough, just as God's providence would have it, that there was Pharaoh's daughter washing herself right there. I wonder if she kind of pushed it down that way, don't you? I'm sure she did. There's Miriam. Shall I go get the mother to get him to stop crying? A matter of fact, that'd be a good idea, honey. Can you imagine today what God will do if we will be faithful, if we will put forth the right steps? I've said this to somebody just recently in counseling. I said, listen, if you will do what you're supposed to do, I don't know what to do, they'll say. Just do what you're supposed to do, and you know what to do, God will fill in the gaps. See, a lot of people like me are very lazy towards doing the things of God. Well, I don't know what to do. It's an excuse, isn't it? I don't know what God wants me to do. But you do know what you're supposed to do, don't you? Well, I know that, but then do that. I mean, read your Bible, step one. Don't sin, step two. Okay, stop playing around premarital relations. Not good. Stop doing that. Stop watching that. Start praying. These are the things we ought to be doing. And then God will direct us. We find it very clear throughout the Bible. We think about Miss Abigail. She was one that said, you know what? I'm going to do what God wants me to do. She was a lady who said, I know what God wants me to do. Well, let me keep going. We think of Esther. Esther comes, and very fascinating, but you remember her story. I won't go through all of that, but she said, listen, if I perish, I perish. Right? I mean, just to be frank about it. I mean, for such a time as this, maybe God has put me here for such a time as this. Maybe God has me here for this very reason. And it was, they were about to commit what's called genocide on an entire nation. And if they would have, they would have wiped out the entire Jewish population. And Esther says, listen a sec. I'm not put in this position because I'm pretty. I'm not put in this position because there's something special about me. I'm not put here because some divine thing, if you will, of putting me in this position. God put me here because of this situation. And I don't know what it is for you. God's put you here for a reason. Really, really put you here. Oh, we could go on and on. I think about in 1 Samuel, Miss Hannah. Hannah prayed, you remember, for the child. Lord, give me a child. And it says her adversary bothered her daily. Now her, it's not a demon, I believe. It was the other woman he was married to. Remember, he was married to two ladies? And that one, it provoked her. You can't have a kid. What's wrong with you? You know, I wonder why God cursed you like that. Evil, right? Evil. And Hannah said, you know what? I'm not listening to that jargon. I'm not listening to that nonsense. And by the way, some of you need to just turn a deaf ear to the people that are negative in your life. They tell you something. They tell you who. They try to give you a rundown of who you are. Just turn them off. They'll get over it. Turn them off. Some of you, they never call. Door swings both ways. Okay. You're the one always carrying the relationship. Door swings both ways. Turn those people off. The Bible says God is the author and finisher of our faith. But some people try to be the author and finisher of our lives, don't they? Well, I'll tell you what you need to do. Listen, if it's not biblical wisdom, turn it off. This woman, Hannah, said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and pray. I'm not listening to her. I'm not listening to my husband, who was not a very spiritual man. I'm going to do what God... And she got alone and she prayed, and her prayer was phenomenal, wasn't it? You got to read it again. And God gave her a young man that would go on to be probably the greatest character in the Old Testament. Amazing. Samuel wrote, and Samuel was the one that led the nation of Israel into the great, great position that they were in. He warned them of their mistakes and all of that. Now think about it. You and I, all of us can use our influence for good. Who are you influencing today? I mean, some of you have little brothers and sisters still. Are you influencing them? Can they call you? I mean, really, you know. You don't give them any example to follow. You don't give them any spiritual advice. You set the standard for here's how to be cool. Here's what we do. Here's how we do it. You don't give them any kind of direction and example. Who are you influencing in your life? Who is it there that you can say, I want to show you the way of God, not the way of the world. Not the way of the world. Shame on us for showing them the doors of evil, the doors of sin, the doors of wickedness. Instead of pointing them and, hey, listen, this is what everyone else is doing. Here's what the Lord says. Here's what the Lord is doing. I'm so proud of all of you here today for being so faithful. You are an influence. You are leading. You are helping other people in that way. But he says here, now let's get back to it and I'll wrap it up. He says, you, Timothy, have examples to follow. You have people that are around you that love you and help you. I think of the little boy that he was told to go to bed, and his mother said, go to sleep now and don't wake, don't bother me. He said, okay, Mama. He called him, Mama. She said, what? Go to sleep. I need a drink of water. He said, no. He called about 10 minutes. Mama, what? I need something to eat. Not how many mothers know what we're talking about, right? No. He said, Mama. She said, you say that again, I'm going to come in there and whoop your hide. Yeah. This was in the old days. Amen. Okay. How many say, I still spank my kids. Okay. Praise God. I come in, I'm going to whoop you. He said, well, on your way to spank me, bring me a cup of water, please. We have a little boy, and we're finding that out, right? Oh, Noah and Joy, they have a little boy as well. And those of you who have little boys, and boy, they're different. Oh, I didn't know that. They're different, boy. Little Cole, boy, he's a character, ain't he? Now think about, we have influence and power over them. Let me get to this last one, and we'll be done. How do we influence? What's the best way, we could say, to glorify God through the gifts that we've been given? All of us have roles we play in life. Are you a brother? Are you a sister? Are you a mother, a father, a grandfather, an employer, an employee? We all have these lists of roles we play, right? And I want to encourage you to write them down at some point on a piece of legal pad or something, or a 3x5 card, and say, God, help me here. Father, brother, son, whatever it is. Because I find I fall so short in every area. Would you agree? Don't agree with that, okay? I fall so short. And I know that we all can do better, obviously, and try better. None of us have arrived. Paul himself, the greatest Christian I believe to ever live, he said, I'm not arrived yet. I want you to understand something, that I'm not where I'm supposed to be yet. Because some people glorified Paul. You remember that. Oh, he's an angelic being. He's so eloquent. And Paul said, whoa, 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 no, no. I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. I'm not arrived yet. We all have growth. Some of us are at different stages. But that's why we come together in a local church. We don't judge each other. We don't criticize each other. We help each other. Praise God for that. Oh, God has given you such a special gift. I have verses, but I must keep going here. God's plan for us, being a mother for you, is such a high calling. It's a God-appointed position. being an influence to others. Some of you may not have children, but you can be an influence and encouragement to those around you. It takes time. It takes discipline. We know that. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 here to close out, because I want you to see this before we're done today. Hebrews 11, coming back, just one more example here that we find. Hebrews 11, verse 24. No, let's go to verse 23. Hebrews 11, 23, back to Moses, because he's such a great example. Notice what it says, by faith Moses. Here it is. When he was come to years, when he was born, was hid 3 months above his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. Now, again, I said this before, but only a mama can say that. Every baby's the same, right? I mean, oh, he's a proper child. Notice, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid. They were not afraid. Now, this is easy to say, hard to do. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. That's government. The government's going to tell you how to raise your kids. The government's going to tell you what to do. And the mom and dad said, we're not afraid. You rebels, call us what you will. We're not afraid. And by faith, verse 24, Moses. So now notice this shift. By faith, mom and dad. By faith, Moses. Do you see that shift? First or 2 Timothy 1? I see in you, Timothy, an unfeigned faith. It's an unmasked faith. You're unashamed. It's outward. It was what? First in your mother and grandmother. By faith, Moses' parents, now by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now exactly what that means, we're still trying to figure that out as theologians, but whether at some point he actually refused and said, I reject the kingdom, which we believe, they tried to make him, he was a prince of Egypt, we know that, very influential. He was part of the king's court, very powerful. He had any woman he wanted, he had anything, all the money, all the prestige. But he said at some point, he said, I refuse that, I don't want it. Right? Okay. Refused, verse 25, choosing rather. See, it's always a choice, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. See, you got to think about, people come to a conclusion that money isn't everything. I said it before, O.J. Simpson, back in the 70s, he gave an interview to Time, I think it was Time Magazine or Sports Illustrated or something. They said, man, you got everything, man. And he said, yeah, I sit in my mansion here in Buffalo, New York, and I have everything I could ever want. He says, but I sit here often and contemplate what life is. I'm so depressed. And he ends the interview with this, I guess money doesn't buy everything. And we saw how his life turned out, right? I mean, he just recently died, but tragic. And Moses said, listen, I've been to the top. I've been at the peak and pinnacle of life. I've had it all. See, most of us in here, we chase the carrot every day. We chase the carrot or the wild rabbit. They say, you know, we're chasing it all the time, the money. Man, I got to make more money, got to pay the bills, got to do this, got to do that. For this man, Moses said, I have it all. There's nothing left. And he realized that he would rather choose to be with God's people because of this. Notice this, the pleasures of sin for a season. Seasonal. Pleasure is always seasonal. It feels good now, hold on, okay? It's great now, not for long, right? We know that. Three things here, and I'll wrap it up, I'll stop. Number one, identification. He identified with God's people. Your kids will only identify with God's people if you teach them who to identify with. You got to show them the way. A spiritual leader knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way to other people. Identification. They identify with the world or they identify with God's people. Number two, we see separation. He says in verse 25, choosing rather. There's separation. I choose to separate myself. And by the way, it's okay to have our kids and others separate from certain things. We got to push that. Separation, honey, here's the way. And thirdly, there's the estimation. In verse 26, he said, I sit back and I estimate. I think about it. Here's what I've got. Riches, wealth, women, everything you could ever think of, but depression and emptiness, right? And over here I have this. And you think about it, we choose God's way, it's always the best way. Mothers and grandmothers, again, we are so grateful for you. We love you. We thank you. I praise you for being so faithful to God. Some of you may not receive that from maybe someone in your life. They may not honor you properly like that. But we thank you on behalf of our church, as a family, the family of God. Do you realize sometimes that your family is no longer the blood relatives, it becomes other people as you get a little older? It becomes your church family and others? That we appreciate you, we honor you today. And I have no way to talk. I don't have any experience, okay? But I want to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Be faithful. Stay true. I couldn't imagine if this church was all male, just men. Could you? Boy, that'd be depressing. Oh, wouldn't it? Oh, help us, Lord. I'm glad you women are here. Praise God for you. We got such sweet little girls here. I appreciate all of them. But continue on. Continue on. God will use us, we see throughout history. God used. If you study your Bible, I want to encourage you to do a little homework this week. Go through your Bible and study every woman that's mentioned in the Bible. It's a quite extensive list, but you can do it rather quickly. You can look it up. Just Google it. Look it up. All the women in the Bible, and then look at the influential ones, and you'll see how they literally transformed the world, didn't they? He used women. It's amazing. There's a lady in a small little town, and she was the only one that was a believer. And she got together a few other women that she worked with, and they had to gather down near a river because they had to hide from the local authorities because they were arresting and putting into prison and even hurting and torturing and other things the people that they found that were reading their Bibles or preaching the word. So she got a few women together down by the river. Word got back to Paul and said, hey, Paul, there's a group of people meeting down by the river. They're doing their best, but they don't really know what to do. I mean, they're just singing some hymns and saying some things about the Word of God, but they don't know what to do. And Paul went down, and an amazing story. He started the church, and he helped them in that little region of Philippi. And out of that church, there came such a tremendous push and emphasis of the gospel throughout. Today, we have an opportunity to continue keeping on. Stay focused on what's in front of you. Do what you know you should do. And mothers, thank you for being so faithful to the Lord. We can see it throughout history. God uses women, especially mothers and grandmothers, in a mighty way. A famous artist was painting a picture as a little boy, and it was a terrible picture, stick figures, and he knew it was bad. And his mama walked in the room and said, boy, that's the most beautiful painting I've ever seen, and gave him a kiss on the forehead. Later on, he became a very famous artist. They said, what do you attribute your talent and your dedication to? He said, when I was a little boy, he came right back to that, said, that little kiss on the forehead made me who I am today. That confidence, that instilling of the security that I have from mama. Amen? Thank God for you. Would you stand with me today? I'll stop there. I appreciate you being here again and being so faithful. I'm praying for you, and I hope and ask that you would pray for me and my family. But I hope you have a wonderful day today. We'll have just a few verses, Miss Amber. Thank you so much. A few verses as we usually do. And I ask you if you would just take time right where you are to pray to the Lord, however He's spoken to your heart today. I say this, I try to every service. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, again, I'd like to take the Bible and show you. We had a young man last week come forward and get saved. Isn't that wonderful?